time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time for Abandoned Manitoba. We are going to get a little dark and grisly on today's episode. The clue from last week was about an abandoned building that had people buried under its parking lot. Gordon Goldsborough joins us now to explain more. Hello, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadja.
So what are we talking about here?
Well, in Portage-la-Prairie, there is a vacant jailhouse where at one time people who were found guilty of severe crimes were hanged and their bodies were buried right there.
Okay, tell me more about this jail building.
Well, of course, when Manitoba became a province, one of the priorities of the government was to set up the administration of justice. You know, you'd have to have courts, for example, to look at cases. And then if somebody was found guilty, you'd have to have jails to incarcerate them. So in those days, they divided the province into three what they called judicial districts. There was the Eastern Judicial District based here in Winnipeg. There was a courthouse. There was a jail. Well, in fact, the jailhouse, the Vaughan Street Jail, is still standing. And people periodically go and have a look at it. In the western part of the province, you had the Western Judicial District based in Brandon, and the original courthouse is still standing there. The Central Judicial District was headquartered in Portage-la-Prairie, and in the early part of the 1890s, they built a jail and a courthouse there.
So who built this one?
This was built actually by, it was designed by an architect by the name of Charles Wheeler. He was from Winnipeg here. He designed the jail. And it was built, as far as we can tell, in 1891. And then a couple of years later, another building was designed to be right beside it, and it was the courthouse. So together, you had the place where justice was meted out, and then right next door, if you were found guilty, you were just conveyed over and incarcerated in that in the jailhouse.
Can you describe it for us?
Well, it's a two-story building made out of bricks. It's got some windows, but of course, you don't want to have a large windows because it makes it easier for people to potentially break them and escape. And so that was where they would incarcerate people who had been found guilty.
Anything from the outside that would indicate that it's a jail?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if you approach the building from the north side, the entrance into the old jailhouse in big block letters over the doorway, it says Provincial Jail. In fact, people, when they look at it, they might even be a little confused these days because increasingly we are using the American spelling, spelled J-A-I-L. But in those days, they used the British spelling, which was G-A-O-L. And so people today look at it and go, gaol? What's that? What's a gaol?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But of course, it's pronounced jail, so...
Who did the jail and prison?
Well, initially it was intended for adult prisoners, and in fact, wasn't just male prisoners either. Anyone over an age of 18 would be incarcerated there, male or female. Increasingly, they moved the female prisoners out. They would incarcerate them in Winnipeg here at the Vaughan Street Jail. So for the most part, it was adult males. But actually in 1901, they actually began incarcerating children, basically, you know, what we might call juvenile delinquents. And they were actually incarcerated there along with men until 1910, until they built a separate facility, what they called the Industrial Training School. And in fact, that building is still present in Portage as well. It overlooks Crescent Lake, was the sort of the juvenile facility. And then after they moved the kids over to that facility, then basically the Portage Jail became basically men.
Do we have any sense of what crimes were committed by the prisoners?
Well, it was basically any infraction that warranted imprisonment. But in the case of our story here today, the one that I think is the most grievous, of course, is the crime of murder. And until 1961 here in Canada, the penalty for murder was, in fact, death. We had capital punishment. And the predominant form of carrying out the sentence was by hanging. And so between 1913 and 1926, they actually carried out the hangings at the jail in Portage-la-Prairie. And there were actually four of them altogether. You know, I think the best way to illustrate is just to talk about one of the cases that happened in those days. So let me take the very first hanging that occurred in Portage. It was the case of the death of a police officer. And of course, that's particularly grievous. It was a fellow by the name of Charles Rook. And he was a constable with the provincial police force. We had a provincial police force at that time in Manitoba, and Constable Rook was stationed in Dauphin. Well, in January of 1913, he was tasked to go out and bring in a fellow by the name of John Baran, who had been charged with desertion. He wasn't supporting his wife, and so they were supposed to go out and arrest him and bring him into Dauphin. Well, Constable Rook went to Baran's house, knocked on the door, and Baran inside shot three rifle shots through the door. And it struck Constable Rook in the chest. And it didn't kill him outright, but he was very seriously wounded. And so they bundled the police officer up, and they hauled him back into Dauphin quickly. Unfortunately, the doctor couldn't do anything, and 8 days later, Constable Rook died. And whereupon Mr. Baran was immediately charged with murder. So today, it's quite likely that the whole process would take potentially years to play out. Well, in the case of Mr. Baran, the administration, the wheels of justice turned quickly, because actually it turned out he was taken to court, he was charged with murder, he was found guilty, he was sentenced to hang, and from the time that the constable died till the time that Mr. Baran was executed, 105 days.
Wow.
In other words, basically just a little over 3 months. I mean, no appeals, you know, nothing, just he's guilty, we'll kill him. And that's what happened.
So, quote unquote, justice, I guess, was swift.
Justice was swift indeed. And so basically what they would do then in those days, they would build a scaffold on the grounds of the prison. And the scaffolding was surrounded by walls. I mean, unlike what we think of in the days of the American Wild West, when this would be public entertainment, you go out and see a, you know, criminal hanged. No, they didn't do that. The only people that would witness it would be the prison officials. So they built a scaffold. They brought Mr. Baran out. They had the provincial executioner there. They actually had a guy whose job it was to go from jail to jail executing prisoners, a fellow by the name of Arthur Ellis. And Mr. Ellis oversaw and made sure that the structure was working properly, that the equipment would work. They then put a hood over Mr. Baran's head. They put a noose around his neck. He stood over top of a trap door. Mr. Ellis flipped a switch. The trap door fell down and Mr. Baran fell. And the premise was that it would break his neck and he would die instantly. But in some cases, now Mr. Baran was killed immediately, but in some cases it was a somewhat slower process and the prisoner would die from strangulation. So not a very pleasant way to go. But they didn't want this to linger. So immediately after the hanging had been carried out, they verified that the prisoner was in fact deceased. They had a coffin already made, and they had actually filled the coffin with quicklime. Quicklime is sort of a caustic material that burns away tissue very quickly. And they would put the corpse into the quicklime, into the coffin. They would cover it a little more quicklime, nail the coffin shut. You know, the reality is that the corpse would disintegrate rather quickly under those conditions. And then they buried it right there on the grounds. They say that it was in the southwest corner of the jail grounds. And that's why I said before, you know, we are talking about a site where there are people buried on the site.
So when was the last execution at Portage?
Well, the last one actually took place in February of 1926. So in total, four altogether, and almost 100 years ago. So we're talking about events that are long out of living memory. There's nobody alive today who can say that they witnessed these executions at the Portage Jail. So things carried on, in fact, into the 1930s. They made a change. They renovated the building so that they could accommodate female prisoners again. In fact, they moved the men to Headingley. Headingley was existing by that time. They moved the women from the Vaughan Street Jail out to Portage, and then it became basically a female facility through the 1940s. And right up until the present, well, not quite the present, but pretty up to the present, that was a female-only facility in Portage.
When was the building vacated?
Well, of course, you're getting an old building now, so it's not exactly ideal. And so they started building a new building for female prisoners at Headingley. It opened in 2012, and the remaining female prisoners at Portage were transferred there. By which time, the jail in Portage was horribly overcrowded. It had been rated for 35 people. It had 35 beds in it. And at the time, they had 74 prisoners. And so the building has been standing vacant since 2012. The courthouse, by the way, the one adjacent building, is still in use. And in fact, one of my cousins worked in that building for quite a while. And I asked her one time what it was like. And she said it was a terrible building to work in. It was cold and drafty in the wintertime. It was hot as anything in the summertime. Not a pleasant building. So she was very glad when they moved her and some of her coworkers out. But the courthouse building is still in use today.
What's the condition of the building now?
Well, you know, you'd imagine a building that is now 127 years old, it would be not in great condition. In fact, my suspicion is the building's been sitting empty for now over 6 years, that the provincial government is going to take it down. It's pretty good real estate. It's on sort of the main drag in Portage la Prairie. I anticipate they're going to want to redevelop that site for something else. But the challenge, of course, will be that it has human remains on it. You know, there are still, as far as we can tell, the southwest corner where those burials took place is the parking lot. They paved over that area. And I don't know that anyone really knows where the graves are located.
Very, very dark matter indeed. And it kind of runs into our theme for next week as well. What are we looking at, Gordon?
Well, I thought we would look at cemeteries. You know, the fact is that many of the cemeteries around the province are lovingly tended by either family members or an organization like a government or a church. But in my travels, I have seen quite a few that are, well, not so well tended. And we're going to talk about some of these abandoned cemeteries.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Gordon.
You're welcome, Nadja.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons ago.